Hey there, welcome back to the Behind the Skies podcast. I'm Josh, and today I am joined with artist and producer Bailey Daniel. Bailey Daniel has over 24,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel, where he specializes in chopping and flipping samples of all types. Not only does he produce beats, but he is crazy with the pen, paper, and some vocals. Today, Bailey Daniel and I sit down and chat about how he got into music, sampling in music, Bailey Daniel's future plans as an artist and producer, and just have a fun conversation that jumps all over the place. Hope you guys enjoy. Today I am joined with a friend of mine, Bailey Daniel. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Not complain. Yeah, of course. No, I'm doing well, too. Cool. So let's go right into it. Where are you from?
Well, I grew up in a variation of places in Minnesota, and then graduated from a town called Mound. And then my freshman year of college, I went out to Chicago. Came back, moved out of my mom's house, and now I'm just in an apartment in Minnesota, pretty much.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm the same way, except I'm in Maryland. What got you like into making music in the first place?
Well, my dad was a rapper when he was younger, and so he just kind of put me onto a shit ton of different music when I was a kid. A bunch of different kind of genres, and it was just kind of normal to be around it, and he was always like recording and doing shit around the house. And I guess when I got into it, like my senior year of high school, it just kind of felt natural.
Yeah, like because you've been around it most of your life pretty much.
Yeah, definitely. I play guitar. I got my first guitar when I was like 8, and then kind of self-taught that for a while. I still don't really know how to play it that well. But I could play some songs. And then I got a keyboard when I was like 14 or 15. And then, yeah.
Is that how, because you do a lot of sampling. Do you chop your samples on a keyboard or do you use like a MPC?
No, to anybody watching this or listening, if you don't have it already, get Serato's sample.
I completely agree.
Before I had Serato, because I used Logic, I spent so much time, like, you either just chop up the audio just on the fucking thing, or you could put it into, like, the EX24 and chop it up that way, which is good. Like, that's how people did it for a long time, but it takes forever. I don't know. Serato just makes it so easy.
And in all honesty, I think I picked it up on, like, Plugin Boutique or whatever for, like, $30. It's not an expensive plugin.
Really? I paid 80 for it. I paid full price.
Oh, really? Yeah, I got it on sale or something. But I remember, because I used the free trial for a long time. I just kept making emails until I finally ran out. And I was like, all right, I'm going to buy it. And it was definitely, when I used to do a ton of chopping, it saved hours. Or not hours, but I mean, it cut the time down for a beat. You could save your whole,
well, it's like, just, an hour. Yeah, it's just like you hear a sample and you get the idea when you hear it. And then you don't got to sit there for a half hour or however long it takes to clip through the whole thing.
Yeah, and then after hearing the sample for a half hour, you're like,
right, you're not as excited about the idea anymore.
Yeah, yeah. What is like your average production day look like? Because I know you post a lot of beats.
Yes, so I pretty much wake up, and then I love making beats in the mornings. I don't know, it's just like it's a nice thing for me. And then I'll make like one or two, like pretty much right after I wake up. And then the rest of the day is just kind of if I'm feeling it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to describe. I don't really have a set schedule. It's kind of unorganized. It's just,
yeah.
Whenever the vibe hits, I'm on it.
Mm-hmm. How many beats do you usually make in a day?
Anywhere from like 2 to 6.
Oh, damn.
Roughly. Yeah, there's a lot that there's a lot that I either trash right after I make it, or I get like 3/4 of the way through it and then delete the whole project.
Yeah,
I'm pretty bipolar with it. It's stupid.
Yeah, I think I heard, like, I watched a documentary about Ed Sheeran or something, and he was talking about how people, like, when they start a bad idea, they don't, like, finish it. But he always said that when you have, like, a really, really crappy idea, you gotta go through and then get it out, and then you'll make something better after that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'll try and do.
Yeah, I should have more patience with it, because a lot of the stuff I kind of just throw away, like, probably isn't that bad, you know? But
yeah,
if I'm not in it, I can't get excited about it.
And yeah, and then if you're not excited about it, it's no fun, and it's just, yeah. So do you post every day beats?
I try to. I definitely try to. I should probably set up some sort of schedule. But as of now, I'm just kind of making enough to where I just try and post every day.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be, I'm big on like quality over quantity as well. I don't know. I get really excited about it. And I always post the beats like 10 minutes after I make them. So it's not like, it's not like this big fucking thought out thing.
Yeah, just find a cover, make a title, and go.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I used to spend hours on trying to find like a cover and title. And I still probably spend like, you know, 30 minutes. But then I realized it's kind of like, if you overthink it too much, it's just, there's no point, you know?
Oh, yeah. For me, if I don't find it in like the first 5 seconds of looking, I end up looking for like an hour.
Yeah, yeah. And it just gets annoying, and yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I was thinking for the topic today, we'll talk about like sampling and chopping samples, since that is your main style of music. And then also, for the people who don't know, you also are a lyricist and a vocalist, so you make your own music. And I think maybe going into that would be cool, because I haven't had a vocalist on here yet.
Yeah, I dabble.
There you go. Yeah. Now that last EP, I think it was an EP, or was it a whole tape? It was an EP, right?
Yeah, I labeled it an EP. It was just kind of like 5 or 6 songs.
Yeah, that was fire.
Appreciate it. Aria, out now.
Yes, sir. I'll link it in the description. But cool. So to go like right into sampling, since you do a lot of sampling, do you have any like tips or ways to effectively sample? Because I know a lot of people consider it like another instrument. And I would agree with that. I mean, it's not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like 100% just feeling, I think. I think what I love about sampling so much is that there's not a whole lot of, like, technicality or, like, a right or wrong way to do it. It's just, like, kind of do whatever you feel, and if it sounds good, then it's good. I don't know. For me, most of the time, the idea sparks right when I hear, like, the original sound. And I'm like, okay, I know exactly what I want the whole beat to sound like right now. But I don't know. If not, I just kind of throw it in Serato or whatever I use to chop it up and then just play around with it. I normally do the drums first and then sample on top of that. But I don't know. It's not like a... I don't know how to describe it. It's not a very technical process, and I think that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, it's kind of like what music is. You caught a vibe, and you ran with it, and then
yeah, no, something. Definitely. For somebody, like, still fairly new to producing as well, like I am, like, it's just, it's a good way to be able to kind of get your groove and get your confidence in as a producer. Because as I'm, like, I'm learning instruments more and music theory more and getting better with it, but it's still, like, very rough.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the cool part about sampling, because it's just you can get stuff quickly and it sounds really full and like effective. That's why I like sampling.
Yeah, definitely. There's just certain types of sounds and energies that you can hit with sampling that you just can't get with live instruments as well. I mean, don't get me wrong, a musician is a musician, and the goal, I want to learn like a shit ton of instruments. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, there's definitely an art in sampling, and there always will be.
Oh, no, you're completely right. I mean, and like in today's generation, I think it's kind of coming full circle. Like, it's just as big as it is today as it was, you know, when it first kind of came up.
Definitely. Hip hop is every genre.
Oh, without a doubt. You could just, it's all about the groove, the drums. I mean, you can kind of put any other melody underneath it. But do you have like an ideal, do you like to sample records more or kind of like things you find in packs or on Splice?
Well, I like to sample records more. Like, I think that's just a more fun time for me personally, as far as like making beats that people could actually use and like what, because obviously I can't clear no crazy ass samples right now. As far as using and making things that people are actually able to use and like make music out of, I definitely look to the packs. But if I like, if I got beat blocked for a couple days or whatever, if I'm just not feeling it, I'll just dig into the records and make some shit that I can't sell because it's good.
Yeah, that's where you find all the hidden gems.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Every week I try to every week. I go to, like, just a couple different Goodwills, and they have, like, whole record bins. You get records for, like, $2, and there's gold in there. Like, you don't have to go to, like, the big record stores. It's, you gotta, so if, you gotta look at the cover art, number one, and then I got this second part from Jay Dilla. You gotta look at the instruments on the back, and then that's how you find the gold in Goodwill.
Ah, and then once you see the instruments, you know you can get a vibe with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's pretty sick. Yeah, I've never chopped any, like, I've chopped records off of YouTube, but I've never, do you chop, like, actual, so you go and buy, like, a record, put it on the player, and then play it into your DAW?
Yeah, well, I get all the records now, and I still go out and buy them because I have a record player. It's just not the record player that you can connect to the computer. Which I'm going to get one day, which is why I buy them. But like when I sit there and listen to them and try and make something out of them, I listen to them on the record player and then just kind of catch that same vibe. And then I just rip it off of YouTube or something if I want to use it.
Yeah, that's still cool, though, because, I mean, you're going to find like the hidden gems, to your point. Because if you go through YouTube, you find all the playlists that probably like 1,000 other people have sampled.
Definitely, there's that, too. Like that's what I like about going out and looking for it, because like the record almost finds you versus you just finding it in another playlist that 80 other producers have dug into.
Yeah, and they probably all flipped it in a similar way.
Yep.
I think, I can't remember who I watched a video on. Do you, when you chop, do you find a loop first? Like, do you make a loop first and then chop the loop, or do you just chop the entirety, like sample as, like drop the whole thing in Serato and then chop it?
It really depends. I think there's definitely some times where if I have like stems to a sample or something like that, I'll go in and chop things individually just to kind of make it a little more intricate. But I don't know. It's often that I'll still just throw the whole thing in there and just get some crazy chop out of that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I like, to your point, I like to put drums down first and then lay the entire thing out on a keyboard and just hit a bunch of keys until you find some cool sounds.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That's the best way to kind of find some unique stuff that's just going to stand out.
Uh-huh.
What was like your, so when you started producing, was sampling kind of your go-to because it was something that you could do a little easier than instrumentation, or did something spark the sampling? Certain albums.
When I first started producing, I started producing like late December of 2018, so like almost 2 years ago. Just something for me. Like, I think that's honestly how I started to come up on YouTube, is because I just like fucked the algorithms of Earl Sweatshirt type beats. And just posted like 4 or 5 a day. Not only because like not being as well at mixing and stuff, you could kind of do that like with a purpose. And like it takes skill.
You get away with it with
that. Yeah, it definitely wasn't on that level because it takes a direction. But it was something that I could do and I liked. And so I flooded that. And I think that's just where I kind of built the foundation. I think my foundation as far as my actual sampling just comes from, like, the history of the shit that I listen to. It's like not only, I don't know, I just love sample beats, obviously, but just in general, I listen to a lot of, like old soul, like Al Green, Marvin Gaye, Otis Redding, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just kind of cool being able to incorporate that in today's world.
Yeah, my favorite thing about sampling, too, is you're taking something old, already made, and turning it into something new. It's like recycling, and it's super dope.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Do you ever, when you take a sample, do you just leave the sample alone, or will you add instruments like bass lines and guitars or anything that you might be able to do?
Depending on just kind of what I can get out of the sample and like what sounds good, I think. I think... Most of the things that I add would be kind of background synths or like keys or something, just to add some sort of variation and progression throughout like a verse or a hook. But I don't know. Other than that, like for the most part, I just kind of lean heavy on whatever chop I was able to come up with. But I definitely, it's really important to add like the I think that's what makes a beat like take that next step up. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, you with like variation and arrangement?
Yeah, definitely.
No, I completely agree. Like you can have a simple like 9-bar loop.
Yeah, because then when there's little details like that, like it's going to make them take the whole beat seriously, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they're going to look at everything you do more intricately, I think.
And laying it out in like a good way and a solid foundation allows an artist to just not have to really like do anything else. They just hop on it and do their thing and they have a full song.
Yeah, definitely. It just provides that natural kind of progression.
Yeah, yeah. I always used to struggle with arrangement because it'd be like, I try and look at it from the perspective of like someone who's going to buy the beat or use the beat. And it's like, I don't know. You never know because everyone's going to have a different take on it.
Yeah, that's always easier to do with the artist. But
yeah, yeah. But sometimes like I'll get a song back from an artist and they'd have like gotten the track outs and the whole arrangement will be completely different.
Yeah, I always love when that happens.
Me too, because it kind of just shows you like, oh, this is dope. They kind of took a whole different take on it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I like when people do their own shit with it.
Yeah, I've had people take drums out, take full instruments out. It's super dope.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go into like artist stuff, because I think that's going to be a dope thing to talk about. Do you have like any major tips for someone who hasn't sampled at all and wants to like get into it?
Shit. I mean, like there's so many like tutorials and things like Google and YouTube are going to be your best friend in the world. Like there's so many either comments that I see or just people asking questions in general that could be so easily answered by Google or YouTube. Like the world is your oyster. As sampling, like, I don't know, just it's all just based off the feeling. Like, just don't try and do too much with it, because just whatever your gut tells you is going to be what's best. And like for somebody who's actually taking the time to intricately listen to music and trying to create it, like if it sounds crazy to you, it's going to sound way better to anybody who doesn't do this shit, you know? So
yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
It's easy to get wrapped up in that because we all look at it so, you know, under a microscope. But it's like the average listener doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, they just want something that sounds, you know, clean and has a nice, fresh vibe to it.
Definitely.
I pick up, like, every time I mix something or make something, I'm like, damn, this sounds like shit. And then I'll go compare it to another producer and I'm like, man. But, I don't know, I feel like that's a problem with everybody. I don't know.
Yeah,
I listen to songs and other things, and I'm like, damn, I kind of like. There's always something that you can improve on.
I feel like my
mixes
could be way better. I don't know. They're definitely better than they used to be, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, not same. I mean, it's just one of those things that you only learn with time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go into you being like a vocalist, and I guess you could say a rapper. I don't know if you do any melodic stuff.
Nah, I don't have too many melodic songs.
What kind of sparked that? I know you said your dad was a rapper. Was that kind of what took you into it, or?
No, not really. Rapping was just kind of something. So before I got into making music, like I really thought I was going to the NBA, like 1000%. And like,
oh really?
Yeah. The problem with that is like, I didn't like to do things like play defense or like run or like get rebounds. And so that can really cause a blockage in your path to the NBA, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so after that, I came to grips with that. I got into like painting for a little while and just kind of getting on that creative muscle. And then, I don't know, I'd always written lyrics since I was like 6. I was always writing lyrics, but it was always like a super private thing. And then it was like my senior year of high school, I was just like, fuck it, and started rapping. And there was, like, nobody at my school that rapped, and, like, nobody that even, yeah, I don't know. It was, like, social suicide. But it was because it was ass. Like, the rapping was not good. The songs were really bad. But I don't know. It was fun. It was something that I was proud of, and it was a form of self-expression that I needed at the time. And now it's, like, fucking, it's like therapy, and it's I love being able to listen back on it later on, and kind of see how much you've grown. You know what I mean? Because if you really put you into it, it's like taking pictures or you know, catching memories. It's just with music.
Yeah, and that's like the best. That's one of my favorite parts about creating music is looking back on like the memories and the time in your life that are associated with whatever you were making at that time.
Oh yeah, like with any of the hundreds of beats on my channel, like whenever I hear, like listen to it, I can remember like exactly where I was when I was made it, like, or when I made it, or what was going on, or whatever the hell. It's a cool thing.
Yeah, like, or where you were. Like, I've moved a couple times in the last couple of years, and it's kind of like, okay, I made this one at that house, and it brings back all these crazy, it's so weird.
Yeah, definitely.
Some are good, some are bad, but...
Right. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think
that was the same way, but... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that, like, what, like, just pushed me to actually do it was just I'd listened to so much rap my whole life, and it, like, I've, in a big way, I feel like carved a large part of my character in, like, who I was. So it just... I don't know, came to be.
Yeah, I was the same way. I never put my music out too publicly, but I had a Spotify page, and I would, you know, I released like 2 mixtapes.
Shit, rapping. Really? You gotta send me those. Yeah. I wanna hear those. How long ago was this? I actually think,
oh man, I started. It was the same. It's almost a shot for shot on what you did. I tried so many things, like creative, like wise. Like I wanted to be a lacrosse player. But I wasn't that good.
That's fucking intense, dude.
Yeah, but then I got into music, and I used to just record artists in my area, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna start rapping too. And I'm this little white kid, you know, from the suburbs in Maryland, and everyone was like, oh my God.
Right.
But I would just try and make, like, I would just try and use, like, sampled records or just different shit. And, yeah, I made 2 mixtapes, and then eventually... found Splice and got into like production from my stepbrother who showed me all of it. And yeah, I haven't recorded a song in I think like a year, but
damn, did you like put it down, or did you just got into the producing? It started to give you the reparations that you were looking for?
Yeah, well, the goal was I wanted to learn how to make beats and then record on my own beats. But then I would always try and record on the beats, and I'd be like, I'm not really liking it.
Yep.
And then I just started posting them on YouTube, and it of course kind of went up from there.
Yep.
But I have wanted to pick it back up and like just release some stuff and see what happens, you know? Because it's fun to your point, like just tell
what
a story.
What were you like, were you spitting some hard shit, or was it like you were singing?
No, I had the first mixtape was titled Heartbreaks and Hopes.
What was the title? You know, I cut out.
It was Heartbreaks and Hopes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so I had, and I don't know if I got any of your beats on that one, but I think I bought a beat for the second one and used it on that one.
Really? I haven't heard
this. Yeah, no, you were one of the, I have to listen to it and see, but I used more like sampled vibes for my second mixtape, and because you were one of the first producers I found on YouTube.
Damn, that's great. Like, I did not know that. When. Okay.
Yeah, but the first one was more like, you know, melodic, like heartbreak shit. And it wasn't the best, but I had one song kind of get like 20 something thousand streams. And I was like, oh, I got this. I'm going to do this. This is going to be my life.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't have
fun.
A song that has 20,000 streams.
I did some paid marketing here and there, but I guess I got a little lucky.
It's got the numbers.
Yeah.
I want to hear this though. Fun. I'm surprised I haven't heard that. I don't even know
I'm
that exists.
Maybe I'll drop a link below so that the small couple hundred people that listen to this can go find it.
No, fuck that. I'm gonna get some paid marketing for this so that everybody hears it.
Yeah, no, man. But it was fun. It was like, and I'm sometimes I miss those days where it was like I was literally in my mom's basement, like just getting up every day and making music all day. Like, no one would ever listen, and no one would know about it, but it was just fun. Like, it was just the hustle.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite days.
Yep.
But, yeah, that was... So, I guess it's a similar story to yours.
Yeah, that is very similar.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like with a lot of, like, creatives I talk to, There's always like something that you tried before, a different passion that led you to get into music or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It was like, I don't know, what I took away from basketball is I just learned like my work ethic and like how I work at shit. And I just had to reapply it to something a little more realistic for me. You know, I'm not like coordinated. So.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I always like,
I was wet from the 3-point line though.
Hey, there you go. That's a good skill to have though. I can't play basketball for shit. So
19 points a game off really? 6 3-pointers and 1 free throw.
There you go.
That was one time that happened, but it happened.
That was in high school?
Yep, JV.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, oh man, all my friends are super good at basketball and we'd always go play like summer, like, you know, just like little parks nearby, and man, I'm ass. It was fun though. You just run around and do what you can. But yeah, it was kind of like this, that's what I've noticed is people always used to ask me like, oh, what do you want to do when you're older? I'd be like, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to do it. And they'd look at me like, okay.
Uh-huh.
You know? So that's always been my goal. And the music is like, I don't know. It's made it more realistic. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, I mean, well, did you pay taxes last year? That's kind of a personal question, but I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Nah, you're good. Well, I started selling beats officially in February.
So no, you didn't. Let's cut to the chase here, man.
But IRS, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I am not looking forward to paying taxes.
Yeah, I just paid my taxes for the first time this year, like from making beats. I have from my other jobs, but it fucking sucks, dude.
Oh my god, yeah. And with the other minimum wage jobs, it was like, you know, you got paid them as you go.
Yeah, you got money back.
Yeah, but this shit, I gotta set the money aside, and then I gotta go and pay it myself when the time comes. Yep. And it's, you know,
you gotta make a savings account.
Yeah,
build some credit.
And I'm just sitting here like, man,
that's not even build credit, but
it's worth it though. I mean,
oh yeah, 1000%.
Yeah, but I remember when this first started, I was like, oh, I didn't know anything about the tax world or, you know. Because when you hit a certain threshold on PayPal, send you the 1099.
Yeah, because I didn't hit that my first year. And I remember texting like AE and I was like, yo, how the fuck do you pay taxes? Like, I don't know how to do this.
And yeah, that's what I remember talking to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I made a couple $100 this week. I'm like, how do I pay taxes on it? And he's like, oh, you got to do this and this and that. And I'm like, oh my God.
Okay. So you popped up really fast in like, you know, short amount of time. How did your parent, like, how was that? Did your parents like understand it at first when you were just pulling in like a lot more money than you used to? Or were they like, I don't, like, what are you doing?
It was actually kind of funny. I think I tell the story so much, but when the channel blew up, I had posted the Lost Thoughts, like the Mac Miller type beat.
Yep.
I posted that like a day before I left for a week vacation with my dad. And me and him are sitting like outside, and I remember just going to look at the YouTube just to see how the video was doing. And it had like thousands of views, and I'm like, oh, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first, like, on that trip, I was selling beats through email. And as it kind of like, I set up a website and the contracts got in place, like things got more serious. They definitely didn't understand it for the first like month. I don't think my mom understands it yet, but
yeah.
But once they saw like the money amounts and things changing, you know, it went from a minimum wage job to, I guess you could call it a business.
Definitely, it is a business.
Yeah, that's when they started being like, oh, this actually might be something.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you? What did yours think?
Yeah, no, it was kind of the same situation where for the first like little while it was kind of like, oh, like, okay, I hope that's actually what's going on. You're just getting all this money.
Yeah, like you're selling drugs.
Yeah, you're just getting all this money from somewhere. I'm taking a bunch of trips to Miami.
Yeah.
No, but no, I think it's getting more real now. I just bought a car and shit too, so now my mom's like, okay.
Yeah, I think when they see you starting to, like, you know, save and invest, and, like, I think I told you, I bought a motorcycle, and it's like...
Yeah, you sent me that.
Yeah, those are, like, the, I guess you could call them, I don't know if a motorcycle is an old man purchase, but a car is definitely one, you know.
Well, yeah, especially like a newer one. Like, that wasn't a shitty motorcycle.
Yeah. And it's just cool to, like, I don't know. I want to be able to one day, like, be in a place where I can, like, give back to the people who have helped me and, like, friends. And, like, I got a lot of buddies who have, like, you know, when I was had no fans, they were liking and commenting, and they still do it. And it's just kind of like the little things.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I've collaborated with him a bunch of times on my channel, but you've seen Taran Beats, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that guy's fire.
Yeah, me and Taran, we've been, like, really good friends, like, best friends since, like, my sophomore year of high school. Like, before either of us started making music.
Huh. And it just goes way back.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's what happened with my stepbrother. Me and him had known each other. I mean, our parents met, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
Is he a YouTube producer, too? Or is he...
Well, he had, like, taught me most everything I know. He's the one who told me to go buy an interface and a mic.
Bet.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that you owe shit to. Kidding.
Yeah, no. I do owe a lot to him, honestly. But... And we would always, like, have these big ideas, and, like, we were always doing this shit to, like we're gonna be the next big thing. And we tried so many things. And then we didn't, like... We weren't too close for a while, and then I started posting beats on YouTube, and it popped off, and I was like, oh, he's insanely musically talented. And that's when I was like, yo, like, we should see what we can do. And then it turned into, like, now it's just a full-fledged partnership, and it makes it more fun.
Yeah, so Eerie Skies is more than just you?
Yeah, Eerie Skies, up until... I want to say 2.5 months ago, it was just me. And then me and him started making, like, the first, you know, Summer in December. Did you ever hear that beat?
Probably. Yeah.
That sounds familiar. The first beat. It was the first beat we made. And I remember telling him, I'm like, dude, don't expect a lot. We probably won't make any money. The channel's, like, been pretty steady. And then the beat blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh shit. And then we started just making tracks, like, you know, casually for fun, and then took it very seriously until it got to the point where it was like, okay,
let's make this official.
Yeah, let's make this legit. And to your point, like, he taught me everything I know, and it just kind of, like, I have this great opportunity now, and let's both go do our thing and make music like our lives.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, so, but it's just kind of cool how, like, relationships like that.
Yeah, for sure. What's your end goal? Maybe not, like, too far, but, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Okay, that's a good question. It just changes a lot. I mean, there's two end goals, but as me and him, like, get farther down the road, we've had this, like, idea where we both have, like, a lot of connections, like, musically with talented producers and stuff.
Yep.
And so right now the goal for, like, the next 2 years, 3 years is to, I want to, like, get a bunch of musicians and, like, run a couple channels and just give people, like, some opportunities and knowledge and, like, try and grow other channels for people.
That'd be sick. Like, make, like, a big-ass business out of this.
Exactly. That's, like, kind of the current goal. And call
that's
it,
almost like it'd be like a fucking, like, a YouTube producer, like, label.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And then it was like, that got us to thinking. And then Chad's like, yo, we gotta make ESP Productions, or ESP, which is Eerie Skies Productions. And yeah. I'm like, oh, that's genius.
That's hard.
Yeah, so now it's just kind of, we've found a bunch of producers in different genres to, like, link up with. I've been trying to go to more artists and just, like, make as many connections as, like, humanly possible and build some good relationships. And then, you know, hopefully, eventually, everyone will be able to eat. You know, that's kind of the end goal.
Right.
And just give, like, because, I don't know, there's so many talented people with, like, insane music skills or, like, vocal skills, and they just cannot get their stuff heard, and it's like, okay, well, let's try and see what we can do.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel that. I feel like, I won't say it's luck, because I feel like I'm here for a reason. But when I first came in, like, I just flooded that almost weaker market of beats on YouTube and kind of found a loophole into the algorithms. And then by the time I actually got pretty decent at producing, I had, like, some sort of a platform to keep releasing them on. And at this point, it's dope when I can, like, I can hit up somebody on Instagram, even if it's like, say, like, it's like some girl who just made like an original song, like with no whatever. I can hit her up and be like, hey, I want to sample this, but like, send me your PayPal email. I'll split the whatever so we can both get paid and whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like exposure for them slash dope ass music being made. You know, it's like it's a win-win.
It's super dope. Cause you're just, yeah, you have a platform to give people opportunities and stuff. All right. We had some technical difficulties on my end, but I think we were talking about working with people, and that brought me a thought to, you remember the guy I talked to you about a couple weeks ago, Micah Henry? Yeah, I think his like artist name is Micah Midas or something.
Oh yeah, no, I'm tripping.
Yeah, he had
that one song, Same Old Things. I listen to that in the car all the time.
Yeah, yeah. The Eeriest Guys thing, it's funny, he lives in, I think, my county.
Yeah, you said he was like 40 minutes from you, right?
Yeah, he's super close. And a friend of mine is a really insanely talented videographer. His name's Andrew Kim. And he had like shot videos for me and he was shooting with him. And one day Mike DMs me on Instagram and he's like, hey, I'd like to buy some track outs. And I'm like, oh, dude, I know you. Like,
yeah.
And it's just cool, with, like, to your point, having like the channel and like, I guess the music attached to it. It people take you more seriously, and I'm able to like go to him and be like, "Yo, like, let's make some music, let's work." And
oh, you know. Yeah, definitely, Micah. If you're watching this, I'm so sorry. I take so long to respond to anybody.
He texted me. He's like, "Do you know Bailey by chance?" And I'm like, "I kind of know him a little bit." And he's like, "Oh, like he never answers DMs." I'm like, "Yeah, he doesn't answer me either."
Dude, I'm not on my phone like at all. I feel so bad. I feel so bad.
Me too. I try and answer DMs like once a day, like every morning.
I tell myself that, but then I end up answering them like once a month. It's just me being like, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And then I told him, because he was like, yeah, I got so much stuff written to his tracks. I was like, oh, no, we got to get some work. So.
Yeah, I think he's got my number now, though.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's been showing me the stuff he's been making. It's nuts.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, he's got...
He sent me some stuff.
He's got some serious potential.
Definitely.
So, but that's like, yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. And that's another long-term goal is like, aside from the whole production thing and like the making it big as possible, I want to like just work with like big artists or up-and-coming artists. It's just fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Because hearing like a full, complete track, there's nothing better than that.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I want to be able to like... work with artists that I think are going to come up and artists that I see have potential. But at the same time, like, I want to work with the same people that got me into this, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's another thing, like, going back earlier, like, I want to be able to employ, like, the people I know, like, close to me. And, like, I don't know. Like I said, let everyone eat and just have a fun life.
Right, the people that you can trust with either A, your shit, and B, like, their musical judgment, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And the people were just
or whatever honest. It is that you get them to do. Yeah, honesty. I can't stand a yes man.
Oh my god, I got a friend. He'll tell me if my beats are shit. He'll be like, I don't like this one. I'll be like,
oh, that's how Taryn is. Even before I started making beats, I would send him like every song that I make. That's what, because like even when we first started like making YouTubes, like we both had 4 accounts, and then we'd post a beat and text each other like, go like my beat with all your accounts. We'll be like, okay. But like I'd send him like every song that I make, like the rough mix the night I record it, and sometimes it'd be like, yeah, like that's good, just send me the mix when it's done. But there's definitely times where I'll send him something, he'll be like, don't drop that, that's some hot ass, and I'll be yeah. like, thanks.
And you honestly have to right. have those people in your life.
Definitely.
And everyone can kind of say like, oh, everyone's ears are different, they might like it, they might not, but like at the end of the day, I mean, if someone tells you something's trash, then it's most likely just not good.
Right, it's just, yeah, it also depends on who you trust.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, if I play some Mad Lib and Freddie Gibbs shit to, you know, a Starbucks, you know, carbon copy white girl, yeah. she's going to be like, I don't like this. But it's, like, it's a totally different thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's different music. You definitely need to find the right person to judge your tracks.
No disrespect disrespect to my Starbucks girls, but...
Dude, they're going to stop listening to your beats.
Oh, damn. Because I got so many bumping them already.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's like one thing I struggled with when people used to email me their tracks. I would never know, like, I'd never know how to tell them, like, oh, like, fix this and try doing this or, like, try this, you know?
Yeah, I'm always honest in the ones that I do respond to.
I think it's much more valuable.
It's hard because, like, with people that are actually out, like, more times than not, it's, like, kind of people, you know, just getting off the ground, finding their groove. And it's just, like, you could tell and you got to be able to judge it from that perspective. But it's, like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's just not good, you know? Yeah. I think that's just what it is.
But, like, the thing I just started implementing was, like, all right, I'm going to pick three things I liked from your track and then I'm going to tell you to fix three things. And if you want to fix them, by all means, go ahead.
That's a very nice way to go about it.
Yeah, because I'm not going to straight up be like, yeah, this is ass. Because I remember when I started making music or I was making my first rap songs, they were horrible. I mean,
dude, this is horseshit. I remember the date. It was November 12th, 2017. I submitted a song that I had made into, like, this stream. I forget whose stream it was, but, like, just one where you pay, like, some money to listen to it, repost it on SoundCloud, whatever. And, like, I put it in there, and immediately, like, the whole chat, like, flooded with L's. It was like, so I put my hand, like my head in my hands, and I was just like, what am I doing? Like, is this it? But that was like a turning point for me.
Yeah, like you have to have those pride. Like, I remember I put out my first project, it was shit. And then I went back to school, and you know, everyone's like,
oh, dude, I know. People look at you funny.
Yeah,
they're like, I used to write during my study hours or whatever, I would go down to the practice rooms. And just, like, write in the little soundproof room that they had, you know?
Yeah.
And people would walk by and, like, see me in there, like, knew what I was doing because I was, like, the only rapper in the school. And then I'd hear them, like, giggle down the hallway, and I'm just sitting in there like, fuck, like, they're right. My shit is trash, but, like, I like to, I'm going to do it because I like it, but they're right for laughing at me, you know?
Yeah, and it's just a constant battle of, like, should I quit?
Right. There's so many people that they hold that resentment. They're like, everybody hated on me when I was down. I was like, well, was it bad? You know, I fully support the idea of that, you know, that local artists don't get enough support when they are actually good and it can cause a good artist to give up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I think if a local artist is trash, sometimes they just need to know.
Yeah. And I'm also a believer.
And that doesn't mean, like, they will always be trash. But right now.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. When you first probably start out, you're not going to be good. Don't expect to be good.
I feel like most people, they just copy their favorite artist until they find their own kind of groove in it. You know what I mean?
And that's so key, though. It's like, I don't know. I always like to use, there's two artists that I use as an example that, like, got me into the rap scene. I don't know if you've ever heard of Russ.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've heard of Russ.
Yeah, he made songs for like 11 years before he finally made any money or blew up.
Really? And I don't know a whole lot about him. Yeah, I just know that he's like a meme.
Yeah, people hate on him.
That's all I've heard about Russ.
But he, like, it just kind of shows that, like, I think the reason people, I guess you could say, make it or don't make a living off of their music is because they hit a point where they're like, okay, I need to give up. Or they think, like, it's time to give up because it's been too long. But really, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know, you get better with time as you do things and you learn every day and it's not going to happen overnight. Some people do, but that's like five people, you know?
Right. It's like kind of like cheesy motivational YouTube video, but it's like when Nipsey said, like, fucking, like, don't focus on building a wall, just lay a brick every day and eventually you'll have a wall.
Yep. And that's the way that every vocalist or producer even listening to this should look at music. Like, don't look at your subscribers. Don't worry about any of that shit. Just make
No, because
music
it fluctuates.
Day.
It goes up and down. And if you get too caught up in that, like, you'll just drive yourself insane because it's never going to end.
Yeah, I had a spell of, like, when the channel first blew up, like, I had insane numbers coming in.
Yeah, it's hard not to just check that shit every day.
Yeah, and I was
especially
looking,
when,
like,
you've never had it and you've never had, like, those people, like, paying attention and giving a fuck, you know? Like,
exactly.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and I remember looking at them every day. And then it came to a point where, like, you're not going to be blowing up every day. Like, eventually your views are going to level out.
Yep.
And when that started happening, I was like, oh, my God.
I'm falling off
I'm
already.
Losing it all. I'm losing it.
I just got it.
Yeah, and it's just, like, I remember being so stressed for months. Like, it caused me to, like, not make good beats. It was just, like, a bad spot. But once it stopped, like, now I don't really look at numbers. I will occasionally just to see, but I don't really care for them.
Right.
So it's, yeah. But I think that's super important to just, you're going to be asked at first and you're going to have to practice and get better.
Yep. It's the only way. There's no shortcuts.
Nah, never.
Unless you're just pulling like trap loops, like drum loops off of Splice. Yeah, I've always thought of that because like they really have like full on like trap drum loops. Like if you didn't know anything, you could just drag and drop.
You could probably get a Splice account and make some pretty fire.
Yes. I haven't done it, but I'm saying if you were in a pinch,
you needed to do it. Right though. They have full drum loops on Splice, and I mean now I think most of them are even broken down into stems in some packs.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm just talking about like if you didn't know anything about producing, right? You would get dogged and like exposed pretty quickly, but for a short lived, if you caught a lucky hair.
Yeah, I mean,
you could do that.
If the beat blew up, it doesn't really. People aren't gonna care how I made it as long as it sounds good. They're gonna be like, I'm buying this.
Fucking Splice.
Yeah,
you gotta love it.
Dude, Splice, I don't know. I think I made like my first like 60 beats with Splice.
Yeah, I don't even know how I found it, but I found the Drum Broker packs pretty early on.
Oh, dude, there's some gold in those.
That helped a lot.
Yeah, I didn't know about Drum Broker at all.
Because even before I knew how to like, not even knew, I guess just I had the direction to like chop them and like do my own thing with them. Those were loops that you could just drag in and put drums on, and it's like, God, this is beautiful. I'm such a great producer.
And you'd be like, yes.
Yep.
Oh, man. No, I think I found the Drum Broker when Versus released Mirage.
Oh, that's when you found it?
That's when I found it. I'm like, who? Because I saw it on so many people's stories. I'm like, oh, I want to buy this. I'm going to support them. And I remember going to the Drum Broker, and I'm like,
and you're like, what is this?
I'm like, this is a whole new world.
Yeah.
And there are, dude, though, I think my favorite is Rucker Collective. There are, oh my God.
Yeah, they're all pretty decent. Like, it's just all those soul ones in particular for, like, what we do, more non-status. But, like, it's fucking, that's a gold mine.
Oh, without a doubt. And, I don't know, for the way, like, for the price, when you think about it, they're really cheap. I mean, $60
for the price and, like, the way that they do the licensing and all that for a YouTube producer or just someone slinging beats to local artists, like, it's perfect.
Yeah, because you can...
It's good samples that you don't have to worry about clearing unless you got that placement, which at that point, that's the last thing you're worried about anyway.
Yeah, and even when it comes time to clear that, the only thing you got to do is hit up Rucker Collective and line a split up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you spend $60 for compositions and stems, and you can sell the beat 2 times and make it back.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's just, fucking... yeah. It's a no-brainer for yeah.
Precisely.
It's dope. But cool. I got like 3 outro questions. I guess we can transition into those. So if you had a dream collab, you could work with any artist or a couple of artists, who would they be?
Damn.
I know it's a hard question.
Do they have to be alive?
Or No, not at all.
Oh, well, now you really fucked me up with that. Okay. Okay.
Everyone struggles with this question.
Yeah, that's a... Oh, man. Okay. I think Marvin Gaye would be one. Kendrick would definitely be another one. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man. Prince.
Ooh. Damn, this is some good ones.
Yeah, I think that would be, even all on the same song, that would be fucking legendary.
Oh, that'd be nuts. With those two and then give Kendrick a verse.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. And then, this is one, I don't know, for some people this isn't important, but if you had like a dream studio location or setup or like a place you'd want to create in, like what would it be?
Whew. I think about this all the time. I think I think it would have to be something that I change up kind of like with every project or like section of time that I'm making music, like I gotta switch up the fucking environment. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know, just as far as what I have in the places that I make, it's just really important. Like lighting is always nice, obviously. I have like my paintings that I carry with me that I painted. I like having those around. It's, I think, like a lot of plants. Mm-hmm. Get some nature in there. And I don't know, some banging speakers. That's all I really need.
Yeah, not in the same way. Natural light is so important. I always have all my windows open as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, no, definitely. I could go either way though. If I had there was a basement studio and you could just fill it with like, you know, LEDs or whatever, like that's always hard too. I love producing places like that.
That was like the first majority of my music was, like I said, in a basement. So that was what mine was.
Oh yeah, definitely. I still can't even. I don't produce on speakers.
Really?
I never have. Yeah. Well, I moved out of my mom's house, and there was no way that I just wasn't gonna be able to be playing loud shit like that. And then I moved out, and I moved out because it was nice because I could work whenever I want to. But I moved out, and I'm in this 1-star apartment with super thin walls. And like I would get kicked out if I was like trying to make beats with monitors. And so like anything on my channel is all mixed with like headphones and made with headphones. As of like even lately, I've just been making the beats on my laptop speakers.
Oh wow.
And then mixing it with my headphones to kind of save some hearing until I can get to a place with speakers, but it's nothing special.
And I mean, that just goes to show that you can make music with anything and, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like 9 times out of 10, everything I use to make my beats is like my headphones, maybe my fucking preamp and my laptop. Like that's kind of it.
Yeah, that's all you really need too.
Lucky. Yeah, I definitely can't wait to have the materials and like the equipment to, you know, make some crazy shit. But like you can do it. You can do it with minimal equipment.
Yeah. I think every like producer or artist has like a dream set up in their mind, and like personally, like I want to buy a house one day and just have like a whole area devoted to music.
Oh, hell yeah, that's a given.
That's the ultimate goal. But I got lucky with this apartment. I'm on like the N unit and my desk is against the wall facing like outside.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure the person below me hates me, but
that's not really your problem yet.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm thinking about moving back to Chicago next year. Yeah, I'll just move in with a couple of my guys, and we be in a house. And so when that happens, that's going to be different.
Oh, it's going to be a game changer.
Because they both make music as well. It's more like an indie rock kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But same idea, like the whole house is practically a studio.
Yeah, and I mean, being around people creating and like it'll just push you to, you know.
Oh, those were definitely the shout out to Joe Packham and Jason. But it was like, I don't know, when I first went to Chicago, it was so nice because around Minnesota, I was the only one even making music like at all. It felt like, especially rap. And when I went to Chicago, it was just like being thrown in a shark tank to where I like didn't know anybody. I wasn't socially like advanced, and just really didn't know what I was doing with music. I just knew that I liked making it. And those were two dudes that I met that like really, they really did what they said they do. You know, they like say they make music and then when they go home, they actually make music. And just kind of being around that energy and people that really walk the walk, I think it built a lot of the foundation for the way that I work and approach music the way that I do now.
And it's a solid vibe to be around.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the people, for me at least, the people that like surround me and I'm like with, have a massive part to do in like everything I create. Whether it's like hanging out with friends, even just being like out with the right people.
Oh, 1,000%. What did Benny the Butcher say? You can only judge me by who you see me with. That's a true statement.
Yeah, yeah. The people you surround yourself with are a mirror image of you, if you want to say that.
Something like that, yeah. You're your own person, but like,
it, well, yeah,
you can control who you surround yourself with, and it really makes a huge difference.
Oh, I completely agree. It's nuts.
Can't be around those stagnant people.
Yeah, and then the last question. I mean, we kind of already covered a little bit of this, but do you have, not even just for sampling or music, but as an artist or entrepreneur, any tips or tricks for the people out there who are trying to do the same thing?
Just quit making excuses. Like, it's just, it's not, I don't know. My biggest pet peeve is like when you meet somebody and all that, like they're like, oh yeah, I rap, I do this, I do that. You're like, oh, play me something. And they're like, well, I got to get in the studio, I got to get this thing recorded. But it's just like don't be loud about it. Don't post every time you're in the studio. Don't whatever. Like, just actually do it. Don't try and get a video for your first song. Try and get a video for your first hit. Like, it's definitely possible to do, especially like when I first moved into this apartment, I was going to school full time. I was working at a bar and grill 5 days a week, 4 or 5 days a week, you know, running this YouTube page and still rapping at the same time. Like, it's definitely, I didn't get very healthy sleep or like healthy anything for that time, but like, it's definitely possible. And like, I don't know, especially if you're younger, don't make decisions based on other people.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't know, that can go for a lot of different things, I guess, but focus on yourself.
No, I think you're right.
Like, if there's any time to be selfish, it's now. So,
and I think it's like, I don't know, not being, having to rely on people in the beginning of what you try and build is dangerous.
Yep. But
once you lay the foundation, then there comes a point where it's like, okay, you need collaboration, you need team.
Definitely. Yeah, be careful who you shit on the come up.
Yeah.
Because a lot can happen in a year.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. Even if, like, you don't like someone's music, just, you know, pass no, it on. Unless they come at you, but...
There's some other... Yeah, I remember there's a couple producers. I'm not going to name any names, but, like, I remember I hit him up. I thought he was dope. I had, like, 2K. And he had, like, around the same, like, 1, 2K. And I wanted to clap. And, like, he was just, like... I think his response was, like, LOL. And then he didn't answer, and I was like, all right, that's fine. And then, damn, like, a couple months later, I was pushing, like, 15, 20 at that point, and he DM'd me back, and he was like, yo, my channel's dying. Can we do that collab now? And I didn't answer, and this dude, like, still hits me up and, like, hates on my shit. And it's like, ugh, just be careful with your words.
Yeah, yeah.
Be careful with your words. Read books. Eat healthy. Don't fucking, I don't know, don't get caught up in distractions.
Yep. Yeah, it's like when people hit me up with songs and samples, like, numbers don't mean anything at the end of the day. And I think someone who's a perfect example of this. No,
it matters about how you approach it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
here's samples, let's work. Or like that, if they like expect something out of you, or like, I don't know. It sounds dickish, but it's almost like knowing your role in something. I guess, like, when I was really small and, like, ass, and I met someone who was, like, more established than me and, like, had shit going on, I wasn't like, yo, we got to make a song together, or, like, can you please hop on this? It's, like, you don't make people say no, you know what I mean? Wait for them to ask you.
Yeah, and you don't want to, like, force it anyway. Like, music is something I think you can force, like, work habits and stuff, but with creativity and, like, working with people, like, when Stoic hit me up, he was my first ever collab. He DM'd me. We went back and forth for a while, and just nothing really came of it until one time, like, just something clicked, and it worked.
Definitely. I mean, well, how long have we been going back and forth now?
Oh, like, so many times.
I just worked on our first collab this morning.
Yeah, and it's like, that happened. Like, sometimes you'll send someone samples, and they might be busy, or they don't get to it, and life happens. But
or they just don't know you like that. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody like works different. I like working with people that I'm cool with personally.
And completely agree.
Trust their judgment, you know?
Yeah, I like to get to know people and, you know, catch a vibe with them, the person, before you make music.
Especially in person.
Yeah.
If we're in person, I can't make music with you if I don't like you.
Well, of course, yeah. No, you don't want to sit in a room, especially artists. Like, I don't know, when I used to record artists, it would be, they just come through, they lay a couple vocal tracks down, and then, like, they're demanding with the mix, and then they leave, and it's like, oh, that was no fun.
Right.
And it, yeah. But, I always say this, but you know 18, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that, he is a perfect example of, like, yeah, he's got 2 or 3K, but his channel, when it blows up, it's gonna be nuts.
Oh, yeah, or, like, extremely YSP. Talented. How the fuck does YSP only have, like, 10K?
Yeah, 11K? There's some people I look at, I'm like, Jesus, people are crazy.
Young Swedish Prodigy is, like, one of the best YouTube producers I know.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I don't know how that dude isn't at, like, 70K. He'll get there. It's coming.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when those, like, lower-key guys hit those things and it's, like, I don't know. It's just going to be game over. But that's the perfect example of, like, if someone hits you up with a hunt, like, the guy, remember when I told you someone sent me samples before we hopped in this podcast?
Yep.
I don't even know if he has, like, a Type Beat channel, and if he does, might not be big, but, man, there's some crazy samples, and it's like, yeah, just, if the music's good, the vibe is there, like, I've talked to him for months.
Right, if it doesn't seem sketchy, like, I think that's how YZ got caught up,
Really?
Because, yeah, I think someone is emailing him samples. And just, you know, they said they didn't have a counter or anything, but they just ripped the samples from somewhere else. And he got his fucking, he got his account deleted for a while, I'm pretty sure. He's got it back now.
Yeah, he got it back, but he was gone for a minute. And I think it was right in the middle of his like, he was getting big. He was doing some crazy
numbers. Was already big, but, like, he was doing, I've never talked to him, but that man goes dumb.
Yeah, yeah. No, you do have to be careful with what people send you. But I don't know, when people, like, to your point, it is nice to get to know someone and, like, their workflow and how they make their stuff before they send you a bunch of work.
Right.
Yeah. But dope. I mean, that, I think that's all I got, unless you got anything else.
I don't know what I have. I don't have much else to say.
Yeah, I think that's it. Well, for the people who are watching the YouTube version, like usual, all of Bailey's links will be down below. And his recent EP will be at the top of that. Highly recommend everyone goes check that out. All the songs are in my playlist, so that's how you
appreciate
know it's good.
You. I appreciate you having me on this.
Yeah, man, of course.
Meaning to do this for a minute. I'm sorry I rescheduled too.
Nah, you're good. You're good. Last week was hectic anyways, I think, for the both of us, so
something like that.
But yeah, man. Nah, thank you for being here, and appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Spinning records in my living room, thinking about how I gotta go and make a living soon. Finding principles, studying the minimal. The old me died again. Nobody's invincible. When I get in my vial zone, I look at all the milestones I jumped over. Smoked out and slumped over. All October. I'm known as the blunt blow with the dope shit. I'm not with the stand around and hope shit. My mama happier than ever, so I'm good. I just been chilling, working hard just like I should. Moving forward, I swear shit ain't been the same. But you know, with growing comes the pain. In the world of sex, power, cash, flow, money. True to self, you must protect. Bro, that's your money. Drugs blowing, bad hoes living scummy. Temptations all around, let them take you and your family. Gonna suffer while you drown. I just keep my head down and focus on the process. Life in this world we live can be a lot to process. I ain't saying that I'm perfect, but I made a lot.